Anterlobe, a chapter from the book titled Anaclism, started in 1972, published in 2004, written by Z. Charnot. Magnificent art, a triumph of science, a temple, a wonder of more worlds than ours. How may it be uttered? To participate in life within it, instead of wonderment at it, is a part of the initiation of each citizen of Anterlobe. This city of space was the host, not to militant keepers of justice, nor the explorers of the outward universe, but to worshippers, adepts, with a calm and serene sensitivity, a benevolent potency, and an intense relationship with one another, that displayed itself in devotion each to the other, excelling utmost care we give our own flesh. To describe their nature requires this one learning. The living process involves the intricate and abundant exchange of energy with every form and being. The enlargement of living, or evolution, is to gain fraternity with an ever larger society of beings, and to harmonize one's motions more and more intricately with all one's surroundings at greater and greater ranges. Universal organisms were the order of magnitude of the momentary reach of the living field of this company. Their consciousness, each moment, beheld beauty toward which many would only prostrate themselves in awe. It is even that posture of awe and wonderment that forbids many from accepting the benevolence of that beauty for their own person, and the contribution of their person to the enlargement of that beauty. The purposes of the citizens of such a city as this. They traversed not only the universe in its acknowledged form, but they moved even through the essences, witnessing other rates of living processes. At one time they were both searchers into those forces which elicit most subtle effect, and participants in the discrimination of the very scheme of creation. Not peculiar to their stature, their attentiveness was often fastened upon the least ordered manifestations in the universe, and it became their task in part to expedite the process of ordering, wherever their wisdom made more comprehensive the designs of those cultures or civilizations. The human kingdom is a band of consciousness in the spectrum of evolution. Human beings transcend the consciousness of their kind in company with the instructive ecology which surrounds them. There is a co-evolution of the species and its ecology. The citizens of Anterlobe became to humankind a fount of somewhere inspirers. They provided a field of force within which humankind lived and moved and had their being, and became to humankind their overseer, an answerer of their prayers, their angels in the heavens. The proximity of those of Anterlobe was, in the early cycles of man's ascendancy, one of great distance, but from time to time they would take upon themselves human form, the bounding of human consciousness in the terrestrial ecology. Forces are never known by human consciousness until they have displayed themselves, sometimes with enormity, in the motions and in the mutations of substance and form. When the changes wrought are so gradual that they require a scientific historian to be noticed, the forces may go unacknowledged. Often, too, a force displays itself so intermittently in every age, it becomes a newly acknowledged phenomena that is observed by so few and occurs with such rarity, its periodicity goes unnoticed until formulated from myth, legend, scantiest clues in history. The pioneer observer will wait its occurrence and scorn the charge that his promptings are occult, superstitious exploitations. Somehow, the observation is always left to clandestine undertaking by the courageous, if not the compelled. Annerlobe interventions were rare, and their interventions were usually witnessed by superstitious witnesses who were ill-believed when they reported their experiences. It only increased the pain of being pressed away for those who longed to abundantly assist. The bridge to their greater nature was offered to those who were at first visited, which deepened their fraternity with the citizens of Annerlobe. A band of the most achieved came to be the most skilled and concerned about the destiny of the race. That band of the concerned had themselves left behind the need to propagate credit or acclaim for their labors, and had come to realize their scheme of care was best executed by anonymous dwelling. And so they were seldom seen and only came to be known to others of their kind who were at the periphery of transcending achievement. They became very constantly attended members of the race by the concerned ones, both for the sake of their own ascendancy as well as for the sake of those ascending through them. Through history, it became the frequent means of tutoring man to inspire children's tales. The evolutionary goal of each kingdom was often first known by the children, and the operations of the universe first comprehended by their believing minds, only to have systems of education suppress their insight. As the fullness of time came, because of the motion of the planet through the heavens, an urgency arose to have humankind in readiness to witness and to participate in the cataclysmic changes in the force fields of space, which were to be dispatched as a due experience. The experience had its sense of due-ness, because there is in the fields of space rainbows of force, not that shine from violet through the spectrum to red, but that shine from humankind of the most primitive to humanity the most divine. This is the ecological field system through which the species moves, with the planet and her sun, her vehicle of travel through the spectrum of energies of space. The networks of force that produce the delicately balanced motions of these luminary and planetary vehicles of space are forces authored by something beyond a great galactic mind by which man and gods evolve. There are cusps of transition from color to color, from yellow to green, green to blue, from humans primitive to Homo sapien, from Homo sapien to the even greater species. At each cusp, there is the expected turbulence in the practiced civilization. It is much like the turbulence of mother in labor, of child surging through the canal of birth, and of a pacing, waiting father. Annerlobe and her citizens were like the attendant physicians or midwives assisting in the birth of a greater human species. It was not some divinely assigned duty that brought them to the time and place, but rather part of the scheme, a part of a very locus or path over which they navigated. But the path was not to be trodden upon, but to be worked through. The path required matriculation, and the midwifery was part of the skill. Please proceed to part 2.